If everyone will stand once the verse gets on the wall, it's Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. You may be seated. Today the world celebrates Easter. I hope to show you in this and other sermons coming up why we do not celebrate this actually terrible day. It's worshiping someone else. We begin with the age that ended just before these verses was called the Antediluvian Age. The age was from the time of the sin of Adam till the flood of Noah. It lasted 1,656 years. Most Christians don't really consider, even if they know how long Adam lived, that Adam lived over half of that time. 930 years out of 1,656 years is over half. In fact, Adam has lived about one-sixth of all time, from his sin to the present time. A sixth. The Antediluvian Age was about 30% of the time to the present. In other words, there's only been about 4,300 years from Noah's flood to the present time. What was the age before ours like? The Bible reveals very little about that age. There was a garden that was made by Almighty God, and that is where he placed both Adam and Eve. The garden was on the eastern portion of Eden, and there was the land of Nod to the east of Eden. And there were lands and oceans to the north, south, west, and east of Eden. Question. What was the purpose of God's formation of Adam in the world if there was no one else living in the earth at this time? One person. And then when he formed his wife Adam's side, there were just two people in all the world. How big a garden would be needed to feed two adults? Why were there just two people alive in the world? What did they do all day long? Are we to believe that there was no one living in Eden that was not part of the garden? No one was living in the land of Nod? No one was living any place else in the world. What was the job of Adam and then after his wife was formed from his body, Adam and Eve? Were they nothing more than zookeepers? Who did they rule over? The popular Bible teachers say that it was no one because there was no one else alive. They just ruled over the animals. Are they correct? After they sinned in the garden, what did they do for over 900 years? There's very little information that we are told. Then there is revealed another entity symbolized by the serpent who was living at this time. This was not a literal viper or even a talking viper. It was the symbol of the enemy of Almighty God. Whoever this enemy was, he was challenging the rule of Almighty God and wanted to usurp it. Who were this entity's parents? Adam and Eve had no earthly parents. Neither one of them was born like we are. Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. while Eve was made from the body of Adam. Who was made for whom? Was Adam made first or second? Was Eve made for Adam or was Adam made for Eve? Or does it make any difference? Or were they equal? Adam was not made from the body of Eve, but it was the other way around. Adam was not made for Eve, but Eve was made for Adam. The two became one. Adam was to be the protector and provider for Eve, while Eve was to be the comforter and guide of the home. The two, husband and wife, were different. They were designed for different tasks. But they became one. They had different punishments after they sinned in the garden. One of the punishments for the woman was that her desire would be for her husband. And the husband would rule over her. Genesis 3:16. The man was to be the head of the family, not the woman. This is one of the reasons that each family only cast one vote in the American elections from 1776 till 1920. The man was the head. They, husband and wife, talked and discussed who was the best choice to vote for or against, and the man cast the ballot. Man and women are not equal. They are different. They have different skills, different emotion levels, and different responsibilities. Was the earth overspread with the three sons of Noah? This is exactly what our introductory verse says in the King James Version. I'll read it to you again. It's Genesis chapter 9, verse 19. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their descendants, where did they go? Did they travel over the entire earth? Can you find their descendants everywhere? That is in every country of the world. That is in the whole earth shortly after Noah's flood. No, you can't. The three sons were found living in the area that is now called Italy, to Asia Minor, to northwestern Africa, to Saudi Arabia. They were not living in southern Africa, eastern China, Indonesia, Australia, western Europe, New Zealand, north, central, or South America. They were not overspread over the whole earth. But isn't that what the Bible says? Is the Bible incorrect? For example, look at the following map and see if there are any of the descendants of the three sons of Noah living over the whole earth. Well, there's Japheth, Italy, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor. Ham, northern Africa. Now there's Canaan over here. And Shem, this territory here. That isn't the whole earth. The three sons of Noah are living around the Mediterranean Sea. Japheth to the north, Shem to the east, and Ham to the south. Canaan, son of Ham, was living in part of Shem's land. More about that later. And I've got another map. The Bible is correct. It is in the mistranslation of the Bible verses where the error occurs. It is the mistranslation of the word eretz, E-R-E-T-S, which is translated wrong in our King James Bible as the earth many times. But this Hebrew word is not only translated wrong in many places, it is also translated correct in other places. The correct translation of the word is field, land, ground, or country. It never means the whole earth. Let's look at a few examples. How would you have translated Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, in this verse, Genesis 12:1. Now Yahweh had said to Abram, get thee out of thy Eretz, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a Eretz that I will show thee. What if the translators had translated the word Eretz as earth like they did in so many other places? The Lord would have told Abraham to get out of the earth unto an earth that he would show them. This would have meant he would have had to go to another planet. Instead, the translators translate the word Eretz as country and land. Now here's the wrong translation. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of the earth, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto an earth that I will show thee. Using the word earth is nonsensical in this verse. The translators were required to translate the word correctly in this passage. Genesis 12:1. Here's what it says, King James Version. Now Yahweh had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. But the translators were not consistent in their translation of different parts of the scriptures. Look at the verse where Cain is complaining to God about his punishment. It's Genesis 4:14, part A. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the Eretz. The translators did not translate this word like they did in Genesis 12:1, but used the word earth. Here's the translation. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Did that mean that God sent Cain off the planet to Mars or to the moon? That would be a possibility if he was driven off the face of the earth. But the word Eretz doesn't mean earth. It means land, country, or that locality. But we know where Cain went. He didn't leave the planet. He went to the Eretz of Nod, or the land of Nod. Genesis 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. In addition, the mistranslation of the Hebrew word Eretz as earth has misled many Bible scholars to believe in a global flood. Genesis 7:10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. That word is Eretz. All throughout the story of the flood, the word Eretz is translated as earth instead of land, country, field, or ground. The flood was massive, and it caused several major changes in the entire earth. The water did not cover all the planet and kill all the bipeds who were living on the earth, except for the 8 people of Noah's family. The correct translation of flood of Noah would be the following, Genesis 7:10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the local country or land. And there are animals that are only found in one particular part of the earth. Kangaroos. Certain snails. Certain insects. Penguins. Polar bears. And so forth. How could they all get to where the ark was located? And how could they all go back to where they now live? How could polar bears survive in the warm, hot climate in the ark where it was located? The proponents of the worldview or flood view must invent some reason for this to take place. Either the animals were in the ark in egg form, or survived on an ice cap, or slept the entire voyage. But the clean animals were on the ark by sevens, while the unclean were by twos. Some even say that dinosaurs were on the ark. There are so many difficult questions that can't be satisfactorily answered that one wonders why such a view would be so prominent in today's world, especially among so-called Christians. Why is the worldwide flood so prominent? I will answer the question. Why is the global flood so prominent in the world today? It is because if the flood was worldwide and there were only 8 people left on the earth, then everyone who is alive today would be related to each other. No matter how far removed from Adam we may be, or what race we are all related, and thus, in the most fundamental way, we are all equal. Think about this for a second. If there was only Noah's family left in all the world, after everyone else was drowned by the flood, then everyone alive today is related to Noah. And if everyone is related to Noah, then all races can marry each other. There'd be no longer a pure, holy seed of God and the seed of the serpent in the world. Genesis 3:15 would no longer be true, for there wouldn't be 2 seed lines at war with each other. But this is not true. The Jewish Communist Party would lead us to believe that everyone is descended from Noah. But in reality, why would they want every white girl to have sexual relations with a person from another race, or a mongrel to make everyone the same? This, they say, would destroy white supremacy. Why would this be necessary if everyone was of the seed of the serpent? Once this happens, then Lucifer would have succeeded in merging all the inhabitants of the world into one big global unit with no national boundaries, no ethnic distinctions, one universal legal system, one universal economy, one world language, and one world religion. Imagine that. There's an inside joke in that. The result would be one miserable world. But didn't God tell his covenant people, Israel, not to marry anyone outside of their pure race after Noah had died? Isn't that what we have been taught constitutes racism? But doesn't political correctness run counter to racism? Everyone is equal. Marry anyone you want. God's law means nothing. You can disregard every cultural line. Throw out every limit. Limits are only there to create impediments to freedom and further equality. No wonder the spirit of this world hates God and his word. The world has disdain for God's hatred of equality. Sinners are not equal to saints. Murderers and thieves are not equal to the law-abiding. Sodomites are not equal to heterosexuals. No other races, country, or cultures are equal to the covenant people of the Lord. The devil was not equal to the Lord God of Israel. The descendants of Cain, Canaan, and Esau are not equal to the descendants of Jacob. The devil, symbolized as a serpent in Genesis, argued with Eve that she didn't need God because she could be equal to him. Ever since God judged the serpent and made him not equal, he has detested inequality. He lusts for equality. Now I'll talk about the sin of Ham. The Jews are not the only enemy of our God and his followers. They are a cursed people. But there are other cursed people before they even arrived on the scene. Esau despised the Abrahamic covenant and married two Canaanite women who were Hittites. The Canaanites had married into the bloodline of the descendants of Cain. All three of these individuals, Cain, Canaan, and Esau, and their descendants were cursed people. God had specifically forbidden his covenant people from marrying any Canaanite. I'll give you the scriptures, then it's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now who are all these people from? And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Does that sound like these two people are equal? Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, the Canaanite son, nor his daughter, the Canaanite daughter, shalt thou take for thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Our sermon today is to study how Canaan became cursed. Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now there's the story. The Bible is a book that no one can understand unless the Holy Spirit reveals to him what it means. This portion of Scripture is no exception. You don't believe me? Google it. There are three basic questions that Christians have of this incident. Number one, what is meant by his father's nakedness? Number two, what was the sin of Ham? And number three is very important. Why was the curse placed on his son Canaan instead of on Ham, who committed the sin? The story about Ham involves something about the nakedness of his father. Ham had three sons already. Cush, Mizraim, and Put, Genesis chapter 10, verse 6a. Cush's son was Nimrod. Part of Mizraim settled in Egypt. And Put inhabited Libya. Ham, who was saved by being on the ark, had a very ungodly family after the flood. The wife of Noah is unnamed in the scriptures. Her name is not given. But Bible scholars have speculated as to who she could have been. Who was she? Who was the wife of Noah? One person advocated by many is Naamah, the daughter of Lamech and sister of Tubal-Cain, who was the great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Cain. Oh, answers in Genesis. And you can tell Peggy this. Answers in Genesis on their website says that, quote, perhaps the most common name given to Noah's wife is Naamah. The most common name is Naamah. The Jewish writing known as Genesis Rabba, the 5th century A.D., states, quote, Naamah, daughter of Lamech and sister to Tubal-Cain, was Noah's wife. And then they have a picture of Noah's wife made by the designers of the Ark Encounter. Now, she looks brattish to me. The Bible does not give her name, however, Answers in Genesis accepts what the Jews say about who his wife was. Was Tubal-Cain's sister, a daughter of Lamech by his wife Zillah, should be specifically mentioned is unknown, but we could surmise. Jewish tradition made her Noah's wife. Her name, meaning the beautiful or the pleasant one, reflects the worldly mind of the Cainites, C-A-I-N, who look for beauty rather than for character as the chief attraction in women. Is that passed on in Hollywood? Notice by the picture that Answers in Genesis has that she is not white. She's brownish. The Jewish website goes on to say, quote, listen to this. The sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair and took them as wives. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. And Noah was one of the sons of God, and the daughter of man that Noah took for his wife was named Naamah from the line of Cain. This is not true. Does the picture of Noah's wife made by Answers in Genesis depict her as being fair? The Jews, as they usually do, have things backwards. But this is the lie that the Jews are propagating. We will answer why this could be correct in a few paragraphs. I want to read you the rest of what this website of the Jews says as they continue on. So we continue on with the Jewish website. Quote, then after the flood, when Noah got drunk, Noah's son Ham had sex with his mother. Naamah, who, as a result of this union, bore a son named Canaan. Noah knew how this would affect the balance of good and evil and cursed the unborn child. After Babel, Noah and his wife split up due to the humiliation. And she went with Canaan, and Noah went with Shem and his offspring. Did you catch this Jewish fable? What is so bad about Answers in Genesis and other groups who teach such nonsense is that they don't get it at all. What is the implication of such a doctrine? It destroys the rest of the Bible completely. And notice what the Jewish website says in the next paragraph. Quote, So how about those of us who have Canaanite genes? Anybody here got a Canaanite gene in them? Unfortunately, we all have Canaanite genes. Since Canaan was born so early in the post-flood history, his DNA is thoroughly mixed into all of us. We all need redemption, unquote. Is their conclusion correct? It is, but the facts leading to such a conclusion are totally wrong. So how could this conclusion be true? It's another Jewish lie. We all do not have Canaanite genes. If we did, we all would have the seed of the serpent's DNA in our blood. We all could not hear the words of our Savior. There are two main seed lines in the Bible. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. God has placed enmity in the hearts of these two seed lines. Genesis 3, chapter 15. The Jews try to put all the people in the world in the same equal status. All have Canaanite blood. This is their goal. But this is not true. But this view could not be correct for another reason. Tubal-Cain was of the unholy seed of the serpent. We are supposed to believe that the seed of the serpent was married to the seed of the woman. Noah, who was perfect in his generations, would not be called that and saved by the ark if he married such a person. All their children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, would have been mongrels. There'd be no pure-blooded white people left shortly after the flood. If Noah married a descendant of Cain, why would Cain be cursed when he did the same thing? Why would Esau be cursed when he did the same thing? Why would there have even been a flood? It would have been too late. So we can conclude that Naamah, daughter of Lamech, sister to Tubal-Cain, descendant of Cain, was not the wife of Noah. It is nothing more than a Jewish fable. Another possible wife of Noah. Another possible candidate for the wife of Noah is Naamah, daughter of Enoch, or Imzerah, daughter of Methuselah. These are two good candidates to be his wife. They are both of the seed of the woman. The name of the wife of Noah is not given in the Bible's 66 books. But since all eight people who were on the ark were perfect in their generations, all eight of them, Noah and his three sons and their wives, were all pure-blooded Adamites. Noah and his wife did not have any blood of the serpent in them. They had to be pure-blooded, or they would not have had any, or they would have been no pure-blooded seed after them. How did Ham sin? What was the sin of Ham? The Bible says Ham, quote, saw the nakedness, unquote, of Noah. What does that mean? To get to the truth of what that phrase means, one would have to learn how it is used in other scriptures. But first, let's consider all the possibilities. Number one, did Ham see Noah naked? This is what most readers of the scriptures at first think. But is that true? Have any of us seen our earthly father naked? I would think that all the men of this audience would say, yes, we have. But none of the men would say that they received evil for doing such a thing. For is there a law of God that says it is a sin to see your father naked? And what if we did, even accidentally? Would God curse us but not our innocent newborn baby? newborn baby. How does two men seeing each other naked produce a new baby? It doesn't. So this thought can't be correct. It would have been an extremely harsh punishment to punish an unborn child and not the person who did the sin. Ham did not just visually see his father naked. So we'll go to another possibility. Ham had a homosexual relation with Noah. This has some credibility at first, but it fails to be true when you consider what the punishment was. Could a homosexual relation produce a baby? Why would Canaan be cursed for what his father had done? Remember, Ham had three sons already. Canaan was not born when this sin was committed. He was born about 9 months later. The fact that Canaan was cursed doesn't make any sense to this view of homosexuality. There are a lot of assumptions that must be made, but it just doesn't add up correctly. Some even go so far as to say that Ham castrated Noah. If you stop and think about the situation, there is nothing in the Bible that indicates that this happened. And there are other things that remain silent. For example, where did Canaan grow up? In Ham's household or Noah's? Did Ham's wife feel resentment about what Ham had done? How did Ham's other sons relate to their younger half-brother? Who did Canaan marry? Doesn't tell us. Third reason. Ham had an incestuous relationship with Noah's wife. Genesis, Daniel, and Revelation are full of symbolism. If they weren't, wouldn't you think that anyone could read them and learn the truth? Why did Jesus the Christ speak in parables? So the multitudes would not understand what he was teaching. Could this be a symbolic reference as well? What does the scriptures mean when it says that Ham, quote, uncovered his father's nakedness, unquote? Is there a scripture that defines what this means? Yes, there is. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Ham uncovered Noah's nakedness by lying with Noah's wife, his own mother. Ham committed incest with Noah's wife. Why would he do this? What was the reaction from his brothers? Well, the fourth reason says, Ham had an incestuous relationship with Noah's wife for the purpose of giving him the dominion over his brothers. Ham wanted to usurp power and authority over his two brothers. When Ham had uncovered Noah's nakedness by sleeping with his father's wife, he had taken away Noah's honor or disrobed him. Noah's other two sons, Shem and Japheth, symbolically put the robe back onto their father's wife, trying to restore their father's honor. It is also significant that they walked backwards without looking in order to do this. Symbolically, they were going back to restore his honors. They could not erase the sinful act committed by their brother, but they could disown Ham. They refused to see the shame of their father because they disowned their brother. This leads to why Noah cursed Canaan and how Ham, seeing the nakedness of his father, resulted in Canaan's birth. It was the son of Ham and Noah's wife that received the curse. Now, my conclusion to the first part of this story. The wife of Noah is not named in the Bible. She is named in the Book of Jubilees as Zimzerah, granddaughter of Methuselah. She was not of the seed of the serpent. If she was, the Bible would stop right there in Genesis chapter 9. For everyone born thereafter, if there was a worldwide flood, would be mongrels. But the flood of Noah, though massive, was not worldwide. Noah and his wife were the ancestors of all pure-blooded white people who are alive today. But there were problems with this family. Two of the three sons lusted for power. How could Ham, the one son, gain superiority of his other two brothers? He saw the nakedness of his father. To see the nakedness is a code phrase meaning to have sexual intercourse. To see the nakedness of his father meant that he had sexual intercourse with his mother, an incestual relationship. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. This is exactly what Ham did. He saw his father's nakedness, and that was the nakedness of his wife. Absalom, son of David, followed in Ham's footsteps many years later. He slept with some of his father's concubines. He eventually took over the throne which David held and became the king of Israel for a short time. David left Jerusalem in a repentive state and eventually regained his throne after his son got accidentally hung up in a tree. Ham got caught. His sin was exposed. His fourth son was cursed. Canaan would be a servant of servant to his brothers, not the other way around. Some of Ham's descendants settled in the land of Egypt. According to the Book of Jubilees, Ham was the second born of Noah. After the fall of the Tower of Babel, where did Ham go? Three of the four sons of Ham went to the land allotted to them, the land west of the Nile River and south of Gedor. Canaan was the exception. Who settled in Shem's territory, thus receiving another curse. According to Jubilees chapter 10, verse 29 through 34, this second curse is attributed to Canaan's steadfast refusal to join his elder brothers in Ham's allotment beyond the Nile, instead of squatting within the inheritance of Shem, on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean, the region later promised to Abraham. I'll read you Jubilees chapter 10, verses 29 through 34. Quote, "And Canaan saw the land of Lebanon to the river of Egypt, that it was very good. And he went not into the land of his inheritance to the west, that is to the sea. And he dwelt in the land of Lebanon, eastward and westward from the border of Jordan and from the border of the sea. And Ham his father, and Cush and Mizraim his brother, said unto him, Thou hast settled in a land which is not thine, and which did not fall to us by lot. Do not do so. And if thou dost do so, thou and thy sons will fall in the land and be accursed through sedition. For by sedition you have settled, and by sedition will the children fall. Thou shalt be rooted out forever. Dwell not in the dwelling of Shem. For to Shem and to his sons did it not come by their lot? Cursed art thou, and cursed shalt thou be beyond all the sons of Noah. By the curse by which we bound ourselves by an oath in the presence of the holy judge, in the presence of Noah our father. But he, referring to Canaan, did not hearken unto them, and dwelt in the land of Lebanon from Hamath to the entering of Egypt, he and his sons until this day. And for this reason the land is named Canaan. Oh, Canaan land. The Bible tells us who was living in the land of Egypt when the descendants of Jacob Esau went there to live temporarily. Psalms 105, verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. It's also shown in Psalms 105, verse 27, Psalm 106, verse 22, and 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 40. Ancient Israel first had a major conflict with the descendants of Ham. For 215 years, they lived in the land of Ham in Egypt. They dwelt with one of the sons of Ham, Mizraim. Cush was in Ethiopia, Phut was in Libya, and Canaan was in Shem's inheritance, which was known as Canaan land. Before Shem returned to the land that was promised to them. Oh, that is the promised land. Mizraim, who was a son of Ham, welcomed the Israelites into their land, but later the Pharaoh became anxious about how fast the Israelites were growing. He surmised that they would eventually be taken over. So he made them slaves and treated them very badly. Now I'll read you a verse, Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. And God heard their groaning. That's Israel's groaning. And God remembered something. I wonder what God remembered. It's not important. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll show you again. The land of Ham, Shem, and notice Canaan's got Shem's territory, and Japheth. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Genesis 9, verses 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. No, he didn't say that. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. There's no equality here. Two of the sons of Noah are in conflict, Shem and Ham. What was the deciding issue? It was that the Lord God had made a covenant with Abraham and confirmed it with Isaac and with Jacob. The final result, Mizraim's powerful army is completely destroyed in the Gulf of Aqaba. And Israel was on their journey to take the land that was originally given to them away from the squatter Canaan, the incestuous fourth son of Ham. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem.